Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul, the lily of the valley. In him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort. In trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Two things I would like to mention. I have found a friend in Jesus. First of all, he finds us before we find him. And then the other phrase, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. It's alone in him, not in self. Reading from Romans chapter 9, the blessed word of God, a word from heaven sent down to earth for us so we can go to heaven. God's inspired word as is given through Paul to the church at Rome and to us. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed for ever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are of the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for seed. Let's give thanks for these words and for the way described here. Let's pray that we will be part of it, and because of Christ's coming, that we can say with the songwriter, I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. And how that must be true, both of the church and hopefully many of the world. The church to be revived, that Christ will again be everything, much more than he is, when he says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. What is that voice? Chastening and rebuke. Oh, how we need it today. Let's hope we have ears to hear. Let's give thanks to God for all that he gives. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus, who alone is the way, the truth, and the life. He is not only that alone, but he is completely that. And we pray, Father, in his name, that thou wilt today teach us, that thou wilt hear our prayer when we cry out to thee for forgiveness, for revival, for awakening, all that we need today in our individual lives, in our homes, in the church, and then that the church will again be a salt and a light, both in our nation and in every other nation as well. And we pray that that may take place, if it could be thy will. We fear, Father, that if that does not take place, that we will soon have thy judgment to fall on us. For we are in the place of darkness. We are, in many ways, given over to a reprobate mind, not thinking rightly, not seeing rightly. We have denied thee as Creator, and thou hast said, because of that our foolish heart was darkened. Professing ourselves to be wise, we have become fools, and we are that. We have seen our homes broken, destroyed by many of them, children in them troubled. We are, as a nation, hurting ourselves foolishly, wickedly, and we pray, Father, that we may rightly recognize that our foolish heart has been darkened, that we do not know the truth. Pray that we might rather have a beginning in thy word and continue in thy word until we do know the truth and the truth set us free. We pray, Lord Jesus, that thou would do that teaching in a mighty way, and we know it can be done, and we pray that it will be done. We know it has been done in the past, both in reading of it in the scripture, and also it has been done in our history and our country. And we pray for another great awakening. We pray, Father, for every blessing needed in the church, in the home, in our individual lives. We give thanks for what we have and pray for what we need. And we know some of the things we need, Father, in our churches and homes and nation, but we are too lukewarm and do not know it as we should know it. We pray that we might know it as the Corinthians did, and brought them to a fervent mourning and a repentance that need not to be repented of. And we pray for such a blessing again in our time in the church, and that it will then affect the home and the nation. We pray, Father, for other needs that are there, the temple needs of the homeless, the hungry, the war-torn lands, the persecuted. We pray for those in sickness and injury. Pray that thou would give healing to many. We pray for the aged, the children especially, in the broken homes. We pray for all these things and give thanks through Christ. Amen. Looking at this blessed word of God again, as we have here, both sorrow and heaviness in Paul's life, but also describing the great blessing that was there, as he said, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. There's no other nation on earth that has had these blessings given as they were given to these descendants of Abraham. God promising, first of all, to Abraham, the land, especially given that promise that we'd like to consider today. We read of it in the fifth verse. Whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerned the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. God had promised earlier to Adam, the seed of the woman would come and bruise the head of the serpent. Then God gave the promise very plainly to Abraham, stating, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. As is recorded in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, God repeating it to Abraham later in slightly different words, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And that was fulfilled, as Paul said, as whom, as concerned the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Yes, Christ has come. Andrew could say to Peter, we have found the Messiah, interpreted the Christ. John the Baptist could say, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Micah, who lived at the same time as Isaiah, time permitting, we will read some of Isaiah's prophecies. But Micah wrote, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth from me he that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Micah wrote 710 years before Christ that he was going to come. But he also wrote, whose goings forth have been of old. So it was God of old with the Father before the foundation of the world, there with the Father to create the world. Yes, the world was created by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in spite of what all the lies that are said today about evolution. That's all they are, is lies. Terrible, terrible, terrible. And the church, for the most part, has gone along with it. The schools have gone along with it, teaching it. If we teach that lie, right from what God said in the beginning of the scripture, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How can anyone think that whatever is believed can be believed in the fullness of truth and the way of salvation when we don't acknowledge God as our creator? Yes, the schools, the colleges, the seminaries are teaching the lie, and we must come back and recognize that in repentance and then teach that God has, through Christ, created the world. As he said of us, mankind, let us make man. That was God's way, and is recorded in the book of Genesis by Moses, and we are to read it, believe it, and make it known. So that is the beginning. And again, reading that, he that is to come will be born in Bethlehem, to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. So God gave his only begotten Son. He gave his Son, who was there with him from everlasting. We don't know how these beginnings all are to be understood, but they are to be believed as they are spoken of in Scripture. The only way we can have a true faith is from Scripture. Only that. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's the only thing true in the world today, the Word of God. Politics is not true. Sadly, even what they're teaching in school to the children is not true. They rest history. They rest the Scripture. All of that is sadly waxing worse and worse, and we need to get back to the Word of God. First of all, in the church, to believe it ourselves, and then to make it known. And if we do make it known, it is the only way in which we will know what Paul is talking about when he says Christ was born amongst that nation that he is weeping for and praying for. Listen to it again as he states it. Whose are the fathers? All the promises of God that's mentioned in the verse before that. And as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Yes, concerning the flesh. When the Apostle John wrote the Gospel of John, he wrote in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was made flesh. Who is the Word? John spoke of that earlier in the beginning of his Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Think about that. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. As Paul writes to the Hebrew church, states, in these last days hath God spoken to us by his Son, by whom he made the worlds. Here John tells us there was nothing made that was made without him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. And that's where we are today. The light of Christ from the Word is still shining. The psalmist said, thy word is the light on my path. Christ said, I am the light of the world. John is describing him in that way. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The only light we can have in our dark ways that we have fallen into is through Christ, the new and living way. Sadly, until he comes with the regenerating power by the Spirit and by the Word, we don't see the light. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. And that's where much of the world is today, and that is why Paul had to say, I have continual sorrow and heaviness for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, because they don't recognize the light. They don't recognize that what Paul is writing here is true. The promises are the fathers, especially Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses often referred to those promises, and now Paul is referring to them as well, and then stating, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. And again, I want to emphasize that word, came. He came down to earth a little over 2,000 years ago, was born of the Virgin Mary. And that's what we will look at. But before we do, I also want to read what John stated in his epistle. He not only wrote of Christ in the gospel. In 1 John chapter 1, we read, that was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy might be full. How far we are from that today, when many people are troubled. They have to take medication. We hear about mental health. When there's mental health, there's trouble in the mind. John states that your joy may be full. I think again of the Great Awakening. Time of Jonathan Edwards, 1700s, that there was joy in Northampton. There was joy in the home between husbands and wives, parents and children, in the church, young and old. When that Great Awakening came, it was a return in repentance to right doctrine and right living, and especially to Christ. We need that again today. We are far from it when we do not even recognize God as Creator. If we don't recognize God as Creator, we can't recognize him and do not recognize him as lawgiver. And he is a lawgiver that has said, thou shalt not kill, or better translated, thou shalt not murder, and we're doing it. I was reading this week about trouble ahead in our country because there's not enough young people. And there's two reasons. One is the abortion. A high percentage of our unborn children are murdered in their mother's womb. And then, as well, homes do not want children. So we are in a troubled state. We are not in a joyful state. I read of the past of homes with 10 children, many children. There was joy. But today, it's a different thing. We are at a troubled age, and we need to recognize it, and we need to repent. And we have as much reason to be in heaviness as Paul was. Are we? Yes, we have reason to be thankful, especially in nature, when we have so much more blessing than others. But don't let nature put us to sleep. The scripture still tells us, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. One day the blessings in nature will quit with each one of our lives. And then what? Will we be ready for eternity? Will we be those that have recognized our sin before a holy God and saw the need of the one who came, and of which Paul could write here, who is over all, God blessed forever, amen? Yes, he came not only, as Paul said to the Philippians, he who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, humbled himself and took on him the form of a man and went to the death of the cross. He did that. But he also is described a little bit later by Paul in that same letter. Because of what he did, he has been given a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. I think he could have also wrote that every knee will bow. We know in the time of judgment it will come, but right now I think the meaning for us is, as Paul wrote to the Philippians, that every knee should bow. Are our knees bowing to him who is the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star? Is he the fairest of 10,000 to our soul? That song is a favorite of myself. After the night I was saved many years ago, I turned on the radio in the morning, and that song was being sung. He's the lily of the valley, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. I could sing it along with it in joy and in weeping. It hasn't always been true. I haven't always stayed in that place, sometimes too much like the church at Ephesus, when Christ had to reprove them and say, you've left your first love, that he alone wasn't the fairest of 10,000. Too often, we fall in love with ourselves or our fleshly ways and what we want to do. That's only temporal. It's all going to end. What we do in Christ is eternal. First of all, having eternal life through him, everlasting life, as he also describes it when he spoke it to Nicodemus. And we need to see both who he is and what he did. We have already seen some of who he is. He is the Word. The Word is one with God. The Word is God. And without him was not anything made that was made. He is one with the Father. Now I'd like to go through Isaiah as we have him speak to us. Isaiah chapter 7, we have the first prophecy of Christ where we read, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. That's exactly what happened. God became flesh, as we read from John 1:14. God with us, Emmanuel. His name shall be called Emmanuel. He is God. He is the Son of God. And there are those who deny it. Those who would even say, if we believe it, we are cursed. We will be cursed without him. And all those who want to say that believing him will bring a curse are lying and in danger of eternal judgment. Because as Christ said, the gospel is to be preached to every creature. And that gospel is the Son of God became man and died, was buried, rose again. That's the gospel. He that believes it and is baptized shall be saved. Saved from our sin. He that believes it not shall be damned. Those are the words from Christ's own mouth, and they will stand through eternity. They will be there on the day of judgment. Everyone who has believed it will stand and be with them. And those who have not believed it will fall into an eternal hell. and we didn't know it. First of all, and above all, to be saved. And then, what accompanies salvation must be there as well. And we must recognize that, especially in our time, when we are guilty both of believing wrong doctrine and much wrong practice, and eventually in the home, in the church, in the nation. And we need to wake up to it. As God said to three churches through the pen of Paul, awake, Corinthians, awake to righteousness. Yes, we must get back to that righteousness which is in Christ. And to the church at Rome, it's high time to wake out of sleep. And to the church at Ephesus, awake thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And if those churches had to wake up to righteousness, and it was high time for them, it certainly is that for us today. So hear the word of God. Hear about Christ, not only as we read it here from the 7th chapter, but the 9th chapter as well. Listen to the first two verses from Isaiah chapter 9. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be as such as was in her vexation, when at first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, and the shadow of death upon them hath the light shined. There it's very plain, the land of Naphtali, the Galilee of the nations. Later, when Nicodemus and some of the rulers were talking about Christ, Nicodemus was trying to defend him, and they mockingly said to him, "Art thou from Galilee?" And they said, "No prophet arises from Galilee." Those leaders showed their ignorance. If they would have known the scriptures, they would have known that Christ would come from Galilee, as is said here in Isaiah chapter 9. Beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, and they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Those leaders continued, as John said in chapter 1, "The light shineth in the darkness, but the darkness comprehendeth it not." As Christ also said in his ministry, "If the light that be in you be darkness, how great is that darkness?" The darkness of the leaders of those people at that time was terrible. So terrible, they crucified him who is the light. They wanted darkness, as Christ said when he was talking to Nicodemus earlier. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. That includes you and me. God has to bring us out of the darkness into the light of his word and repentance, and then, thankfully, the light of Christ and faith. Let me read the last verse of that wonderful song. "He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory, I'll see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul."
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.